Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
I could do Stephen A's job, guys. It's not that hard.
Danny Parkins.
QB1 party. All are invited.
Host of Fox Sports 1's First Thing First.
This one hurts, but to show that I am fair, stock down Caleb Williams.
Wow.
He was objectively not good against the Saints, and the Saints' defense has been objectively terrible against the pass. People are talking about, like, are you being too critical? Is there too much scrutiny on him because they are winning? No, he has to play better, period, because the takeaways are not sustainable.
Former host of 670 The Score before he abandoned us.
That's a Caleb Williams custom, baby!
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
You guys made it seem like as Chicago Bears fans, we had our guy, Danny Parkins, all these guys.
Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
Wait. Happy birthday, Mike.
That's right. We know that on October 22nd, it is Danny Parkins' birthday. Happy birthday, Danny.
Yeah, everybody knows that. Thank you very much, Layla. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's, you know, Mitch would always buy something for anyone's birthday, and he has not yet sent me a flower basket or anything.
Well, happy born day to you, one. Also, Mitch's birthday came and went, and he actually went and got us all rainbow cone. And yeah, he was the one buying stuff. I was like, this is not how this works.
And then he took off for his birthday. Yeah.
You know what's so funny about that, Marshall? I was just telling Tanny and Robbie when we were talking before I came on. I bought crumble cookies for the whole staff today for my birthday. So I don't know what it is, but like I felt like a responsibility to pay it forward here. So I guess Mitch did teach me well.
Well, you know what? At least you got to celebrate. Danny, by the way, joining us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Danny is not just our birthday boy. He is, of course, hosting on First Things First. 4 to 5 is where you can see Danny on Fox Sports 1. And even in that open, Danny, there's so much to discuss, whether it's the Bears, whether it's us seeing the video right now of Lamar Jackson actually practicing, much to my dismay, whether it's the discussion surrounding Justin Fields. A lot to marinate on, and even Michael Jordan, of course, popping up last night on NBC. What is top of mind for you when it comes to all of this on your born day?
Oh, I mean, well, listen, Lamar practicing is big news, which means he'll play, but that just means that what, you know, John Harbaugh said leading into the bye is true, right? Like he said he expected Lamar back, and he's going to be back. And yeah, it would have been a nice break for the Bears to not get him, but it's also kind of fun. Like it's kind of a fun test because this is a absolute must-win game for the Ravens. And they're 1-3 with Lamar. Now their losses are to, you know, the Chiefs and the Lions and the Bills, like arguably the three best teams in the NFL, but it's a fun measuring stick game. Like if the Bears would beat Baltimore and beat Cooper Rush, like you would take it, but you wouldn't really learn anything else about the Bears. if the Bears beat the Ravens when the team is rested, the team is healthier, the team is coming off the bye, the team is home, the team is in a must-win spot, and the multiple-time MVP is playing, like, this game now provides a real opportunity to learn something about the Bears. So I'm not terribly disappointed that Lamar's playing. I think it makes the game more interesting.
I think for once, you and I are perfectly aligned, sir, because that's
what I was
just telling Layla. Yeah. Come on now, your guy who just got benched. We know about the back and forth on that, Justin Fields and his future as a Chicago Bear. But
I was wrong about that.
Yeah, but on this, no, don't worry about that. On this, because I literally just told Layla. I said, listen, it would be a great break for the Bears to, you know, extend their winning streak and not have to play Lamar Jackson. But this is better because I don't want to just go on this ride and then have it end in a car crash. At least now, if you win or lose this game with Lamar Jackson at the helm, and you just mentioned all the teams that the Ravens had lost to with Lamar in the lineup, you know this win would mean something other than just another notch in the win column if you can go and do what you just described. Lamar out of the bye, a team that is desperate in seeing the Bears as the first on a path to coming back to playoff contention.
Yeah, you also already get the Bengals without Burrow, right? So that's a nice break that's coming. Like, listen, obviously, if Layla's on the other side of that, like, she is, like, objectively correct, like, in terms of the game would be easier to win.
That was my thought, the path of least resistance. Like
that,
yes.
Yeah. That is objectively true. But I guess I would just say, like, 8 wins, 9 wins, 10 wins, make the playoffs. Like, they're not a Super Bowl team. The Bears are not winning a Super Bowl this year. So, like, the win total at the end of the year, it of course matters. But, like, Caleb's going to be the quarterback next year. Ben Johnson's going to be the coach next year. Like, I'm interested in data points where you can really compare this thing to the upper echelon of the NFL. Because, like, we get to see the Bears against the Ravens. Let's say they don't measure up. But then when the Bears play the Lions, they do measure up. We'll be able to say, like, that's legitimate progress from one tier one team to another. So, you know, I'm totally fine with Lamar being out there. I think it's a fun challenge.
Danny, I also want to ask you about the dysfunction that is in the NFL. Marshall alluded to it. Justin Fields, the situation in New York, Jets signed him to that contract, 2 years, $40 million. We were of the mindset, you know, congratulations to a man who just got paid. Bench for Tyrod Taylor, somebody who I feel like he's had comparisons to in his career. What, and then Woody Johnson chimes in and says some pretty disparaging remarks. What do you think about that whole situation?
Well, that's why owners don't talk football. Like, you don't normally say that about guys who are still on the team. Even if everything he said is true, like he was saying it as a defense of Aaron Glenn, and Aaron Glenn's going to be in New York longer than Justin Fields will be. It's Jerry Jones syndrome. Like, it's a reason for owners not talking during the year, because when they do, it carries a lot of weight. But when they do, it's also not terribly informed through, like, the football prism in terms of, like, what is good for the team. Like, I can't imagine Aaron Glenn is pumped that Woody Johnson shared those thoughts on Justin Fields. So that part of it was just, you know, hilarious, but certainly not necessary or helpful. And, you know, Justin did still get paid. Like, people were making the argument in the offseason, oh, Justin should go back up Patrick Mahomes or do what Trubisky did and back up Josh Allen and, like, you know, do some sort of, like, quarterback apprenticeship. Go back up Matt Stafford and learn from Sean McVay. But then the Jets gave him $40 million. So, like, now this offseason, he can go back up Matt Stafford. You know, like, if someone is willing to offer you a job to start in the NFL and pay you mid eight figures to do it, you take it, even if it's not a great situation and there's not great coaching and there's not great receivers, because, you know, there's a very, very good chance that Justin Fields will never make starting quarterback money again for the rest of his career. Don't get it. He'll be in the NFL for the next 5 to 10 years. But, you know, Justin is unfortunately no longer a starting caliber player in the league. And wherever he goes next year, I'll be floored if anyone even brings him in for competition for the job. Like, my guess is his next job will be as a straight backup.
We are joined by the birthday boy, Danny Parkins. Wish him a happy birthday at Danny Parkins. Check him out on the newly expanded First Things First from 4 to 5 p.m. on FS1. I want to know how you felt, because we've talked about how we felt when we watched Michael Jordan and the NBA on NBC. And first of all, the broadcast itself was like, it took me all the way back. But then to see Michael Jordan actually out here talking about ball, or just talking about himself, or just talking in general with Mike Tirico, it put me in my feels, Danny.
Yeah, of course it did. You know, because you're a human being. Like it put everybody in their feels. It was really cool. I will say, what a gig. Like, I'm sure it will be more. You know, like it left all of us wanting more. But if it's just like he let a camera into his house to do like a 30-minute chat with Mike Tirico that they're gonna chop up and like disseminate over the course of time, like, what an unbelievable gig. And Jordan's just funny, man. Like, he's crazy. Like, he's like talking about like being nervous in front of a kid. He for some reason felt the need to be like, you know, it's not about money. Like, Mike, no one thought it was about money. Like, no one thought you needed money, so you took this gig with NBC. So he has a tremendous amount of gravitas to him when he speaks, and there's a reason why it was a huge deal when Tom Brady decided to get into commentating. Like, Tom Brady is a huge deal. Michael Jordan is a huge deal. Magic Johnson, when he did it was a huge deal. And like, anyone can have any opinions on any of those people as broadcasters, but like, when you get a true best of the best GOAT to give any sort of insight and commentary on any level, it carries with it a level of gravitas that, you know, I love Greg Olson. I think he's the best. Or Chris Collinsworth. He's great, right? Like, whoever the person, whoever your favorite guy is, they're not Michael Jordan. And so I think just anything he says, we hang on his every word. But I'm hoping that at some point we actually get like live commentary or like present day commentary on current players, state of the game issues, and not just like, I rented a house at the Ryder Cup.
Well, like, no, I agree.
I want more.
Well, his next thing is going to be on load management. I'm very interested to hear what he has to say about load management, knowing how he attacked the game, right?
Yeah, my guess is he'll be anti. my guess is gonna be anti.
But that was my thought too in our pre-show meeting, Danny. Is I'm thinking, if we're seeing him on a regular basis, then people are going to want him to talk about the regular occurrences in the league, whether that's a major injury. You know, we've seen an influx, for example, of Achilles injuries to the stars, you know, in a way that we haven't seen in years past. How is that affecting the game? Load management, I feel like, might be a part of that discussion. You know, the way the game is played now. There was such backlash last year, as you recall, over the amount of three-point shots that the entire league en masse was taking compared to how the play used to be. I feel like those are things that I want him to chime in on during the season as it evolves.
And my guess is he will, right? Like, my guess is he will. NBC is good at this. These companies know how to maximize assets and put on really compelling sports broadcasts. I agree with you, Marshall. It looked and felt big last night. But Michael Jordan, also, his entire public career has been like a very interesting case of duality in terms of like, he was everywhere in that he was in every commercial and everyone wore his sneakers, but he also like really protected like the scarcity of it. Like, Michael Jordan doesn't just like show up at autograph shows, which like keeps like a little amount of scarcity into his autograph. So it holds a lot of value. He wouldn't join up with all the other NBA players and like show up in video games for his likeness. Like, he protected that stuff. So like, he's always been kind of a less is more and mystery, and like, when he shows up, it's a huge deal kind of guy. So I don't, my guess is we're not going to see weekly live long form things, but like, when he does opine and chime in, it's going to pack a real punch because he's Michael effing Jordan.
Listen, we all remember when we finally unlocked Michael Jordan on NBA Jam. That was a big deal to anybody who did it.
So what a great day.
It's a great day for anybody playing NBA Jam in the arcade. I will say this. I think the reason that he is coming back has everything to do with who the rights holder is in this situation. In a time where every athlete, former athlete, active athletes have a podcast and they're saying whatever about whoever, Michael Jordan wants to stay above the fray. And I think because it's NBC, and if you just go back and look at all of NBC's sports programming, they're not in the same, for lack of a better word, muck as an ESPN, as an FS1, Fox Sports, no shade. I'm just saying, they don't talk about things the same on NBC as they do on some of these other networks, which have gone to that kind of lowest common denominator when we're talking about driving traffic.
Yeah, I think that there's nostalgia for him, right? Like, I think that they broadcast his biggest games. And so that, I'm sure, was like super appealing to him. And getting inside the mind of that guy is very tough. Like, does anyone actually believe that he was nervous in front of a kid at a house at the Ryder Cup? Like, I don't. And do we have any idea if he actually swished it? Like, he just told a story. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was no like journalism or fact checking around it. But it doesn't matter. Like, it was just a cool story.
Am I being naive?
It's kind of like the pizza.
Because I believed
though.
Him. I believed him, Danny. Am I being naive?
Oh, Did you believe what he talked about? The pizza on The Last Dance, you two?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, I don't, but Marshall, the point is, it doesn't matter. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like,
you're right. Like he had me at hello. He had me at hello.
Exactly. And so we're all such suckers for it. And what I'm just talking about with the scarcity is, like, he's always been good at, like, leaving us from wanting more. So I will be surprised if, like, in 6 weeks, we feel like there's been like an oversaturation of Michael Jordan. Like, I think they're going to like pick and choose their spots to make it feel really, really special. And they do a good job with that in terms of their game presentation. And Jordan's always been good at it. And yeah, it was cool to see. I can't imagine anyone complaining about it. Like, that must have had one. Like, I can't imagine it's like the greatest talk radio topic, because it was like, was it cool to see Michael Jordan? Yes. Like, we're all in agreement. Like, it was really, really cool to see him, and we want more of it.
Was an easy show to produce every day. I would like to read my last few texts to you for our audience. Yesterday, 4:18 p.m., I think we have to ask you about Andrew Filippone's nipples tomorrow. Danny, happy to. Layla, perfect. Andrew Filippone used to do a podcast with Danny called First and Pod. It was an NFL pod. And he has to get him pierced because of a bet he made.
Not a bet, more of a, it was a one-sided declaration.
That's even worse.
Yeah. Pony said that the Steelers were going to beat the Bengals, and if they didn't, he would get his nipples pierced. And so, you know, Nick Wright was a senior and Pony was a junior and I was a sophomore at Syracuse. So we're all like best friends from college together. And so if people are like, where did you learn to like, what was the QB1 party or any of the dumb bits that I ever did on The Score? Now you know. Mm-hmm. Like, these are, you see the ridiculous stuff that we do on First Things First. You see Pony out here piercing his nipples for no reason over a regular season Pittsburgh Steelers game. These are my people. These are my people. Like, everyone took that and like it got millions of views and they were like so ridiculous. And I was just like, oh, I'm jealous. I didn't think of that. That's good content.
Oh my goodness.
I thought of you immediately.
I'm glad you found your tribe, Danny. I'm glad you found your people.
Yeah, man. Anything for a bit. Anything for a rating point. Anything to tie yourself to the people are like, oh, that jersey, it really backfired. Oh, really? You're still talking about it? Like, I don't think the Caleb jersey backfired. So yeah, I'm all for it. He should pierce his nipples.
Well, I when I saw it immediately, I was just like, Danny. Danny's the perfect person to talk
That's
about
my boy.
This.
And That's
yeah,
my boy.
And he works for a sister station of ours, so I knew I had to ask it. But frankly, the declaration was, I love a major consequence for a minor sports thing. I don't know why that makes me laugh so much, but this is one of those cases.
Yeah, and the lack of it being a bet is the better part. Like, no one was asking him to pierce his nipples, and no one like took the other side of the bet. You know, it wasn't like if the Steelers win, Pony like a host in Cincinnati has to pierce his nipples, right? It was just like him against nobody. There was literally zero upside. They were a huge, like, if the Steelers would have won, nothing would have happened. But because the Steelers lost, Big Cat's talking about him on Pardon My Take. You guys are asking me about him, and like, my guess is that Aaron Rodgers knows about it, you know. But by the way, that's why he's brilliant. Like, there's gonna be a Sunday feature coming out on Pony in like the next week or two in the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. He's one of the most talented people in media, so he's the man.
Well, he'd better keep those things clean, because
the infection.
You can't just take it out right away just because you did it. That's not gonna work that way.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I don't.
Anybody
know.
Anybody who's had an ear piercing or anything knows that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that's my advice.
Nothing's pierced on my body.
He can't decommit from that decision right away.
So he's gonna have nipple piercings for a while?
Yeah. Because the wound has to heal around it. You can't just like take him out and call it a day. He would need stitches and stuff.
He's coming to New York for Championship Sunday. So I hope he still has him then.
Give him the old twister, we call it.
And we're getting some advice from our Twitch chat. They say keep him for at least 6 weeks. So he's gonna have to deal with this for a minute.
But then once you keep him from 6 weeks, you may as well just keep him.
What year is this? 2002? We're not doing that again as a society.
The words purple nurple just showed up in the Twitch chat. That's where we are. So that's your job, Danny. That's your job.
These are your Twitch mob.
You, Marshall, any irony in terms of you asking me about lowest common denominator programming?
How dare you? We make fart jokes as a debt to society. Well, our obligation is financial, it is to make fart jokes about society, okay? That's our job.
Danny, I like to think I have just a little bit of range. That's all. I can go down to LCD.
You're a guy, you know, no offense intended with your lowest common denominator sports programming while we do sports talk radio and ask about nipple piercing. Like, come on now.
I didn't bring up the nipple piercing.
Maybe I did ask that question right afterward.
You brought up purple nurples.
I just extended the conversation.
Technically, it was outsider brand.
Oh, you yes-anded it.
It was yes-and. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, wherever you guys take it.
Happy birthday, Danny.
I'm just saying, you're not exactly painting the Sistine Chapel over here.
I'm not a good artist. I can't even draw a stick figure. You're right.
We are the Spider-Man meme of content, my friend. But no, thank you very much for the birthday wishes. Great talking to you guys. Go Bears. And do you guys think the Bulls are going to win 35 games this year?
Oh, sir. I have them at 40. Don't do that.
40?
Yeah.
40?
Yeah, they play too hard in a league where everybody doesn't play hard.
I was going to say 39.
Who's the best defensive player on the Bulls right now?
Probably Io. Yeah,
it's either Io or Okoro, but Modest is coming. He was really good late last season.
Okay, listen, Modest is the key to the whole thing.
If you had said front court defender, I'd be like, "What's that?"
Oh yeah, that's 4 and 5. Well, yeah.
All right.
Patrick Williams is still here though.
I'm excited. Pistons -2.5.
Amen. Danny, have a great birthday, and tell Andrew that we're just hoping that everything stays sanitary for him.
I'll pass it along.
No infections.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Danny.
See ya.
That's Danny Parkins. You can catch him on First Things First coming up in just a little bit over on Fox Sports 1. We're going to continue this with Mark Grody. So hopefully he didn't hear any of the last part of the segment, because something tells me he'll start with it if so.
Yeah, let's not. Yeah, we don't need that. We need to hear about what Ben Johnson said today. That's what we need.
That's a good idea. We'll do that next on Raheem Harris and Grody on the Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Bears.
Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll go next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
How gratifying is it when you win that battle and get the football thrown to you?
What? Host of the Take the North podcast.
Mark Grody. Mark Grody, WBBM.
You're kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
Mark Grody.
Baked potato. Baked potato.
On The Score.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay.
We love to talk to Mark Grody when he's at Alice Hall because that means things are happening. And they are. We go to him on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. He hosts our show. He reports on the Bears. His name is Mark Grody. You know him well. Mark, how is it going over there at Alice Hall?
Layla and Marshall, always great to talk to you guys. It's certainly the coldest practice this year, for sure. Full coats for the media, full pads for the players. We'll see how attendance in practice is affected by the weather with some of the injuries with which the Bears are dealing right now. And there appeared to be some key absentees from the glimpse that we were given. But that will all be sorted out with the official injury report, which comes out closer to 3 o'clock today. Sometimes players straggle a little bit and get out to the field. Obviously, I can't give you guys any names now, but that will all come out a little bit later on. Layla, what was with the sigh there? You don't like the cold weather here that we're dealing with?
No. Marshall and I realized during a break earlier during our show that the year's pretty much over. He was like, Halloween's 2 weeks away. And I go, no, it's a week away. And then he's like, the year's over. And I'm like, yeah. And then you're like, it's cold outside. I'm like, great.
Yeah, I was talking to some fellow reporters out there. Like, the transition has not been good this year from the summer to the winter. Like, we need a little, like, this can't be what it is.
No.
But I was told that this is what the temperatures
here
are going to be like.
Mark, yeah. It's over.
According to the WGN, it looks like the weather might get a little bit better in the 60s later, but this weekend might be chilly.
Okay. Well, guys, prior to knowing that Lamar Jackson was practicing today, I'm sure that's been all the rage with you guys, but Ben Johnson said that the Bears have been practicing as if Lamar Jackson would play all along. He said that very confidently today as he stood at the lectern and addressed the media. So they're not buying it that he might not play, but I guess being that Lamar is practicing today, a good sign. And that really means a ton in terms of this game. But Ben Johnson, as I said, front and center today, guys, and I've been talking about this on our show, and the fact that, you know, Caleb Williams was, as Layla said, I think, well, what did you say about Caleb? Like, the most adult he's been in a post-game?
Urgent.
Or
the most urgent.
That was a good word. Yes, I knew you used a really good word. Yes, the most urgent he's been, and part of that is because of Caleb essentially saying, paraphrasing, if I get my bleep down, then this team can be really good. So I asked the head coach about some of those strong words from Caleb Williams after the win over the Saints. Here he is.
Caleb had said after the game, Ben, that because of how well the running game has been going and how well the defense is playing, that he, paraphrasing, that if he does his part, the passing game does their part, he used the word devastating, that the offense could be devastating, or the team can be. Do you look at it that way at this point, that it's just his part now that needs to get better?
I don't think we've played a collective 60 minutes yet as a team. And I think it will be a beautiful thing when that happens. In all three phases, offensively, we've had times where the passing games look good. We've had times where the running games look good. But, you know, it just hasn't come together as an entire team or entire unit quite yet. And so, to his point, it'll be a fun thing to watch when that happens.
Yeah, I think obviously Ben Johnson playing the long game to some extent, but you could see his eyes light up a little bit at the podium today thinking about that possibility, because this is what Ben Johnson had imagined. Who knows how far into his Detroit offensive coordinator tenure that he was staring down Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears job.
Oh, it's good to hear, especially when I don't think anybody would say that they've played a complete game yet like that. So for them to be 4-2, this is a good thing.
100% true. And like the Bears have come the closest they have come in a while I think, in their last two games, just because of what we've been talking about, and justifiably, and that the run game is starting to work. The offensive line looks a little bit more organized right now. The Bears are getting better at stopping the run. They're getting better at getting to the quarterback. None of it is complete, but it does just make you think if these things continue on that trajectory. And look, I mean, look again, you look at the defensive numbers, and they're still not great. The turnovers are terrific, but they've been living on those. But those individual numbers have gotten better over the last couple of weeks. But it's a good point that it's there's still a little ways to go for this.
And I'm looking and listening to what you're giving us with Ben Johnson specifically, and it seems like he is so locked in on getting that final product. And he told us it would take time. Do you feel like the players and the coaching staff have stayed pretty true to that? This is so far down the road from what you, like that question you asked him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you, if you're Ben Johnson and you're the first year of this gig, where you, all of us know that 2 years from now, Ben is going to have all the people he wants around him, and one would expect that if all goes right, they would have this thing humming. That said, even though you give it a year, of course they would like to become ahead of schedule, which is not completely out of the realm of possibility. And I think that we've just had that tiny, tiny glimpse in these last 2 weeks of, yeah, okay, we see what you're trying to do. You said you were going to get the running game better. You said you were obsessing over that, and things are getting better. Another thing, guys, that Ben Johnson was talking about today was something that everybody is talking about, and that is Caleb Williams needing to accept the layups, also known as go ahead and run for that first down, as opposed to flinging it downfield. Here's Ben Johnson on that.
I think the most important thing is that we're playing efficient football. Throughout the season so far, we've been behind the sticks quite a bit. And so whether that's penalties, whether that's negative runs, whether that's sacks, whether that's simply, like you're alluding to, we're not taking what's given to us. We're trying to force something that might not be as easy to get. And so I think as a whole offense, that's our mission right now. Is if we can just stay on schedule, stay on track, then this thing's going to come to life. We got some really talented players in every position room, and so we'd like to just be more efficient as an offense. We'd like to throw more completions. We would like to just continue to move the ball forward, and then when we do that, we have to be better in the red zone. I think that's the other Achilles heel that we have right now. We're making it down there, but we're not scoring 7 points. We're just settling for field goals last couple weeks. So if we do those two things on offense, I think you'll see improvement.
And those field goals have made life nice for Jake Moody, because everybody's talking about Jake Moody these days. But you guys know, and I know, that a Ben Johnson offense does not need field goals. It needs touchdowns.
Yeah, that's a key. I think red zone offense is an indication of a healthy offense. Yeah, and if you're not able to score touchdowns at a clip that is satisfactory, which is what we're seeing over the last few games, and then that does become a key concern. You're right. Like, that to me is one of the biggest measurements of offensive success. If you do get into the playoffs, that there is
no
your red
doubt.
Zone unit. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you talk to a lot of people who have been doing, you know, reporting or have played the game, that it's, hey, in this NFL, it's not that hard. Maybe that's not the right word, but to get from the 20 to the 20. You know what I mean? Like, wherever you start your drive, the teams can whiz down there. The teams that separate themselves, are the offensively anyway, are the ones that are able to bang the ball into the end zone, and that's something that the Bears have been struggling to do, although they've put up their fair share of points thanks to the foot of Jake Moody.
Looking at, I know we don't know who's not participating in practice today, but if there is no, I'm asking you this, if there is no Cole Kmet this week, Colson Loveland, is this the time where he has to come up and take a big step, I would think, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a great question. It came up today, Marshall, and it definitely piqued my interest, because he was asked, Ben Johnson, straight up, is if, you know, Cole is not playing, is Colson Loveland, is he ready for more? And the majority of the answer that Ben Johnson gave to that was mentally he's ready. Like, that was the first part of his, that mentally he's ready. He also you know, handed out some pretty high plaudits towards Colson Lovin, saying that essentially he's never seen a rookie be as professional in the classrooms and behind the scenes and in practice and all of that stuff. So he's got all that part down. Towards the end of his answer, then he did say, and yes, we think he's physically capable of doing more, but that answer told me everything, that he is doing what they have been told to do. He's working extra. He's a good student. He takes coaching well. He's just not there yet in terms of what you want to see from this guy. And what ultimately, like, just to remind people of what you want to see out of Colson Lovin is what he did at Michigan, a guy that can kind of almost pose as a receiver, running crisp routes. Obviously, he's had plenty of blocking assignments, and some of it falls on Caleb Williams as well in terms of getting the ball to the tight ends. You can go back and look at the tape, and you could see opportunities where Colson Lovin was open and Caleb not necessarily getting him the ball. And you could say the same thing for Cole Kmet, but also keep in mind it was a few weeks ago that Ben Johnson said, it's on me. It's on me to scheme these guys open, to make them more a part of it. But I guess one of the other things he said in the sort of the finale to his answer is that he kind of resorted to the, we got a lot of mouths to feed. You know, he brought up Luther Burden. He's like, I'd sure like to get Luther Burden the ball more. Man, I'd like to see DeAndre Swift get the ball in his hands a little bit more. I'd like to see Rome. He mentioned Rome. Like, he kind of went through the litany and the list of the players. So I think deep down, that's part of the issue too, is that Ben Johnson is still trying to sort out the offense and his weapons.
Mark, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for informing us from the hall.
Guys, and just to let you know, I'll be back on with Spiegel and Holmes at 425. We will have Caleb Williams for you at that point, and I will have been in the Bears locker room. So 425 for the next Bears hit.
Love it. 425.
Thanks, Mark. Yep. Later, guys.
That was Mark Grody on Raheemy Harrison Grody giving us the information over at Hollis Hall that's already happened today. Coming up next, we've alluded to it a couple times, this first day of the bull season.
Yeah!
We got to make some predictions. We're going to hide them in our sock drawers, and then we'll reassess them at the end of the season.
35 wins? I'm mad at Danny on the 35. That's saying worse than the last 3 years. I don't want to hear that.
Take it up with him in a few minutes. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey guys, check out this meatballs machine.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And by the look of our NBA hoodies on the crew, we knew that this was the day to celebrate. It is the NBA opening day for real for everyone.
Did that just say meatballs machine?
Hey guys, check out this meatballs machine.
My goodness.
Bulls.
Y'all are doing a lot.
That was a Bulls win call. That was a Bulls win call, wasn't it?
Are we meatballs?
You know what? I'm just going to say this because every now and then, especially the day after the opener, we get some pretty fired up calls. If you want to call us and call the meatball machine.
Wait. We're opening up the meatballs machine?
For tonight?
Okay.
Yeah. If people want, like, go ahead and call the meatballs machine.
Go to the Odyssey app.
Leave the voice message feature. And then, yeah, just vent about the bulls if you want. We did it. We did it for 4 hours today. Why can't you?
I'm so excited about... I guess I am a meat bull because that's not even my primary team, but I'm excited about what I think is going to transpire this season.
Well, then, are you willing to make a prediction about it?
Does a one-legged duck swim in a circle?
Let's go.
So we're going to make our Bulls predictions here. The first question, we have three of them. How many wins will the Bulls win this year?
39. Why am I saying this? Because it's around 500, and I figure they probably make the play-in at least. So that was my estimation. But here's my wild card. I don't necessarily know if Nikola Vucevic is going to get traded, so that's why I said 39. He adds to the offense.
But, Layla, you're saying it's because that's around what you think they might do? Or is it just because they've won 39 games each of the last two seasons, and the third time's the charm?
It worked for the Cubs prediction I had last year. I just said 83 again.
83.
This year I knew they were going to win more than that.
All right, so my prediction is bold, and this is where maybe I'm
40?
A little... 40? No, that's not the prediction. I might be a little meat bully. 42. As in 42 and 40. As in, yes, above 500.
Would that make them make the playoffs in the East? It might.
That's a good question.
Last year, the sixth seed was the Detroit Pistons, and they had 44 wins.
Ooh.
So you would have come up short. You would have been the seventh seed.
Okay.
The year before that, 42 wins would have... You would have been the 10th seed. Or, seed.
Gotta love the Eastern Conference.
Well, Marshall, you said 42, and I actually wrote it down on a piece of paper right here. The Bulls will be 43-39 this season.
Oh.
They're going to the playoffs, and the reason I have it is, where did the Bulls get worse? Can we point to this team and say where they got worse? Yeah, Coby White is hurt, but Modest is going to take a jump. They added Isaac Okoro, who's going to play more than Lonzo Ball. Josh Giddey, duh. And then Nikola Vucevic... I don't know what to expect out of him, but he will be on the floor, and he is a productive player. The Bulls
got
better.
Be on the floor.
Yes. 43 and 39.
It's offensively,
and they're really well coached.
He's a plus, yeah.
And Giddey. So there you go.
And
you said Giddey twice. You know that, right?
Oh, and Giddey, yeah.
The Chicago Bulls have finished with... Oh, man. See, now my screen went and messed me up. I had all of the win totals during Billy Donovan's tenure, which does include a couple of 39-win seasons, which did include a 31-win season in the mix. Yeah, 39, 40, 46, and 31 during Billy Donovan's tenure. I'm going to say 42 wins on this season. 42 Ooh. Wins.
Jump on board my bandwagon. I'll drive. You just sit in the back and
ride. I feel
bad
for not giving them 40.
Well,
You shouldn't feel bad at all. You might be right, Layla. You might
I
be
just
right.
think they might trade people.
Right, exactly. That's in the mix. That's a possibility, 100%. So I'm bullish, right?
When did they trade someone at the deadline that of consequence?
Hey, Arturas Karnashova said 2026 was the year they were going to have more flexibility. So you know it's getting there.
Andre Drummond, remember him? They could have traded him. How long did they hold on to Zach LaVine again? DeMar DeRozan too?
The Andre Drummond one is the one that really didn't make sense. Okay, next question.
Next question. Who will be the Bulls team MVP?
It's got to be Modest, right? Has to be Modest Bouzelis. The way he's taken a jump, I think the Bulls want to build around him. They want him to be their star. So I feel like Modest is setting himself up to be at least the most valuable to the Bulls. Does that mean he might be the most productive offensively? Not necessarily. It's just, it might be a measurement of how disruptive he is on the floor, what he's doing when the Bulls are playing with him. So that's why I feel like it's going to be Modest, especially maybe by the end of the season, too. I take that into account.
I get what you're saying. I just don't think that Modest is going to put up the numbers, the sheer just, gaudy numbers that Josh Giddey's going to put up this season. So for me, it's Josh Giddey. I mean, this guy, as we have said many times before, 20 points and almost a triple-double since the All-Star break last year. Also, and this is the important number here, the number I want you to remember when we talk about this in the future, 37.8. That is the percentage of threes he hit last season, well over his career average of 330. And he took more threes last year than he's ever taken in his career. And I think that will that trend will continue. He shot 45% from three after the All-Star break.
That's insane. Like that is an insane clip.
And they're getting up shots. The one thing I know is they're going to be running up and down the court. Now, they might not get back in time on defense, but they'll keep running on offense.
If they shoot the threes, they're closer to the opponent's bucket. Yeah.
We obviously know who my MVP is going to be. It's going to be Josh Giddey because the Bulls are built around Josh Giddey. After they got rid of Zach LaVine last year, this is what Josh Giddey averaged after the All-Star game. 21 points per game, 10.7 rebounds per game, 9.3 assists per game. Obviously, that is really high. Will he get to that level? We may see, but the Bulls are built around Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey is your team MVP.
Oh, apparently Mully also picked 39. All right, Mully, it's you and me.
My team MVP is going to be Kobe White. I do like the trajectory of Kobe White. He seems to improve every offseason. You know, there's some that have the school of thought, like maybe he's going to plateau. Maybe he won't get any better. I have a lot of belief in Kobe White. I really like him. I believe he'll be the team MVP. Will he be traded? He's a trade possibility. But if he stays with this team, he will be the MVP.
Last question for you guys. Will the Bulls make the postseason?
So he said postseason. He didn't say what kind of postseason. Yes. Yes, they will. If nothing else, they'll make the play-in.
Will they make the playoffs?
I don't know.
Is that why you wanted the question changed? It's just postseason?
Like, I'm confident enough in them making the play-in again. I'm not confident enough in them making the postseason.
I think that's a play-in answer.
Yeah, I think play-in is where
why
you...
Why do I have to come to all of my conclusions live on the air today?
That's the beautiful thing of live radio.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm this confident. Am I more confident than that? No.
Hey, I like that you have boundaries. Yes, they're making the playoffs.
I wouldn't say that. I think it's just... I can't dare to dream.
Oh, wow. That's sad. Now, see, we got to work on that because I need you to be able to dream.
Look outside. You tell me.
It's kind of gray out there right now, and I know it's cold.
The Bulls are making the postseason. The Bulls are going to be the sixth seed, and they will not face the Miami Heat. There you go.
The Bulls are the absolute best at making the play-in. It's going to be play-in, baby.
So you got them in the play-in, but neither one of you have them getting out of the play-in to the playoffs?
No, sir. I'd like to. I need to see it.
That was very Rick Ross of you. No, sir.
No, sir. No,
not
sir.
Me.
And the Pistons are winning tonight.
What?
Oh, all that.
You know what? I don't think they are.
Robbie, what's that T-shirt you have on?
Oh,
right
Robbie,
now?
Dollar bet. It's been a while.
Dollar bet.
Let's go.
Street, give me a dollar.
All right, Robbie and I have a dollar bet.
All right, go Pistons and go Giddey. I'll root for Giddey. How about that?
What? No.
Triple-double on a loss is what he's saying.
The team gave us an interview with Josh Giddey.
I want the Bulls to go 78-4. How about that?
I see what you did there.
Don't be glib.
It would be a record.
How dare you do that on Danny Parkin's birthday? Your father would be disappointed /proud in you. Coming up next, speaking of all of this, Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel are at the United Center for the Bulls season opener. We will talk to them next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.